We must know about him intellectually. That's why he gave you a mind. I say he gave you a mind. And we cannot bypass our mind in order to get some sort of a spiritual experience. He gave us a mind and he gave us the word of God. And also the opposite is true. That's why the scripture says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's your emotions and your feelings and your affections. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, that is, with all your intellect, with all of thy getting, Proverbs says, with all of thy getting, get understanding, with all thy getting, get wisdom, get to know God intellectually, and when you know about him intellectually, you will tend to worship him more affectionately, and you will understand the God that you worship, because when God calls us, he calls the whole person. The whole person is involved. The problem is that many times we go to extremes. The many times we go to one extreme or the other. Many times the reason is because of the way that we're wired. Some people look at people who are, what can I say, more emotionally created, more feeling. They react tearfully or they respond dramatically and emotionally, and they look at them and say, what are they getting carried up? What are they getting carried away about? And you know, they're all reason. And then there are others on the other side of the fence who look at the ones who are all reason and say, why, you know, doesn't he feel what I feel? Why can't he get with it? Why can't he plug in and get emotionally involved? I don't understand. How's he not touched by that? How's he not moved by that? When we sing that psalm, or when we, and you see it in any general congregation of people, there are those that worship and dance. I call them feelers. They're more feeling. That doesn't make them more spiritual. That makes them more emotional. And there are others who sit there and they're analyzing everything. And sometimes you can analyze something to death. But that doesn't mean that they're not spiritual. God has called them to analyze. Because things need to be understood. When God does a work, when the Holy Spirit does a work in an individual's life, he always does a work that's perfect. And so when the Holy Spirit brings a truth home to your heart and deep into your spirit, it has to come through your understanding first. And so God ministers through our understanding and into our emotions and into our heart. And when something comes into our minds and into our intellect and we understand it and it shakes us and it shapes us and it gets down into our heart and becomes a part of us, it's a part of the whole person. Amen? Some things can only be known by experience. Some things can only be really known by experience. Jesus said to the Sadducees when they came, and it's an interesting verse of scripture that caught my attention a number of times. Jesus said to them, and they were arguing about the resurrection, if you remember the story. And Jesus looked at them and he said, you do err. You're in error, he says. Because you know not the scriptures, or at least what the scripture says about the resurrection, you know not the scriptures, intellect, nor do you know the power of God. Feeling, expression. And God calls every one of us, regardless of the way that we're wired, to be true to ourselves. And he calls us to be what we are. And he calls us to be in balance. And one cannot neglect the other, of course. You do err because you know not the scriptures nor the power of God. Let me just pause right there and say this. Don't criticize what you haven't experienced. Don't criticize the baptism in the Holy Spirit if you have never experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't criticize the gift of tongues if you have never spoken in tongues. Don't criticize. Be careful. Now, I know we are to analyze and we are to filter everything through scripture and so on. But don't be quick to criticize something because it's not yet a part of your personal experience. We have a right to evaluate everything through the Word of God. And it would be wise to do so. But there's a huge difference between criticizing and evaluating. And God wants us to use our minds to evaluate through the scriptures to see if the baptism in the Spirit, and I'm not preaching on that, if the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a genuine experience that, because, listen, you may be criticizing something that's a gift of God. So we have to tread softly when it comes to these things that God put in our scriptures and calls us to experience. It wasn't enough for them to just understand the scriptures or the facts, right? You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees, or to his disciples? I mean, they were there. I mean, they were with it, right? They saw him. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him open blind eyes. They walked with him. They tasted of the food that he multiplied. They saw him crucified on the cross. They saw the resurrection. They watched him die, and then they looked upon the glory of the resurrection, and they said, "Whoa, it is you, Jesus." And you would think that that would have been enough. They were ready to go, right? And Jesus looks at them and said, "No, you're not. You've only got it in your intellect yet. I need to get it in your spirit. I need to get it in your soul," he says. "So this is what I want you to do. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is come." You're not ready. "Tarry ye in the upper room. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father is come." What was he saying? You are not fully ready because you have not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got all the facts straight. You got all the theology straight. You saw it happen in other people's lives. But you need that to be, you need to experience that. I want you to not only to understand when you saw that this is the resurrection, I want you to experience the same power that raised Christ from the dead as your own personal experience. The first and the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Heart, feelings, passions, and effort, with all thy mind, with all thy intellect. Any healthy relationship with God includes both understanding and feelings. I'll say that again. Any healthy relationship with God will always include understanding and feelings. The problem is that we usually get caught up in one camp or the other. Some say that there's no room for expression of feelings in religion. They say people get carried away with their emotions in a worship service or whatever, and I find that annoying, they say. Have you ever heard that? I certainly have as pastor, and I've experienced it. And I've been rebuked by God for it. Some things, when people get carried away, they're excited, and I thought they got carried away. Well, let me answer that in a couple of ways here. And let me answer it this way. People may be annoying to us from time to time in their expression of worship, but it doesn't annoy God. People may be annoyed with our expression. I'm talking about a genuine heart expression of worship to God where the power of God is upon one. One is worshiping because of what God has done for them or who he is, and they get excited and they get what some people say, carried away. They may run. They may dance. They may sing. They may weep. If somebody ran around this building this morning because God mightily touched them and maybe they were healed by the power of God, would you find that annoying? If we have to wait until we figure everything out first before we experience it, then we'll be waiting a long time. They're dealing with the supernatural. You know what supernatural means? It means not natural. It's out of the ordinary. It's not usual. It's extraordinary. It's not the norm. Supernatural, not natural. May God lead us as a church into the supernatural realm.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Naturally supernatural. That's just nonsense. You ought to be naturally supernatural. Well, number two. We are created in the image of God and God has feelings. And to deny our feelings or to reject them is to reject the image of God in us. We cannot deny our feelings. God has given us feelings. It's not some mishap or accident in our lives that some people are really emotional and some people are not. God has wired us. I created you, he says, in the womb for my glory. And God has feelings. Some say that feelings don't belong. To say that feelings don't belong in our worship experience or in our walk with God is really a denial of Scripture. When you think about it, when you're running through the intellect and follow the logic of it all, to say that our feelings don't belong in our relationship with God denies Scripture. You'd have to rip out parts of the Bible. You'd have to rip out all the Psalms. I mean, if ever any raw emotion was ever expressed, you see it there in the Psalms. You'd have to rip out the Song of Solomon. You'd have to rip out Job. And these are the three that come to mind. And that would be going against Scripture, because the Bible says we have to face Scripture. We can't take away anything from Scripture. And we can't add anything to Scripture. David would be embarrassing to some of us. His expression in worship would be embarrassing to some. His exuberance, he got carried away to the point that people were embarrassed and annoyed. And then there are others who say, I have no time for doctrine. We're looking at the other side of the fence now. There are others then who would say, I have no time for doctrine or any sort of theological study or in-depth study of the Bible. You know, these are the people who say, just give me something I can feel. If I can feel it, then it's real to me. Well, that is equally unbalanced. And I love what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says. We are people of extremes, and we swing the pendulum violently. We all have an emotional side, and we cannot deny it. We must express it to the glory of God. And we all have an intellectual side, and we cannot deny that. We must apply that to the glory of God. And I find, after pastoring for 35 years, this is our 35th year, I find that people are usually on that side of the fence or that side of the fence when God wants them dead in the middle. You know why? Because it's balance in our lives, and because God is balanced. If there's ever one thing you'll learn about God as you get to know him more, is that he is balanced in perfection. He is the sum total of all of his perfections in perfect balance. And so that's why I feel led that we're going to launch into an intellectual understanding of the character of God, but I don't want it to be some sort of a lecture whereby, yes, you know, we understand that, yeah, we can debate on, but that we feel his holiness as well as understand it fully. Otherwise, we've missed the mark. And I find that the Christian life is exactly that. God is always calling, he's always been calling me back on balance. God, you can get carried away. Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, the Bible says we have the ability to deceive ourselves. Mm-hmm. You can get carried away with your emotions. You can get carried away with your feelings and your expressions of emotion. And when you do, God will be there to call. It's just that we find it annoying. We can't put up with it. But when you're there, God gently will lead you back and say, you're gone too far now. Come on back, get into the Word. I need to teach you something. And you can go too far with your theological studies and understandings of God and become so understanding in your intellect that God is, you left God way back in the dust. You just understand him. But listen, I don't know about you, but I need to feel his presence from time to time. I need to feel the manifest presence of God. I need to feel the anointing. I need to feel his arms around me. I need to hear him say, I forgive you. I need to hear him say, I'm with you. I love you. I need his reassurance. I don't just need to understand that like I read it in a book somewhere, and yeah, that's what they say, but that doesn't hit me, it doesn't affect me. I need to feel that I need to feel that personally from God. And God wired you and wired me in such a way that he wants us to feel his presence. And I say that when you feel the presence of God, you ought to react to it. And when we react to the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's different for us all. I heard one preacher describe it perfectly. He said, you know, it's like when the power of God flows through us, he said, let me use the analogy of electricity, the flow of electricity. If you ever felt the presence of God move in a room or when you were alone or whatever, and it was like tingling down your spine? You ever feel that? Anybody? Some of you are shaking yes, and some of you are looking at me like I come from Mars. The tingle of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't establish any doctrine on that, but that's a part of the whole picture. And this evangelist put it this way. He said, it's like this. If I went over, some people will go over and stick their fingers in the socket, and their reaction will be, whoa, whoa. And others will go over and stick in the fingers in the same current, and they'll go. Now, who reacted properly? There's going to be a reaction if the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They both reacted properly. They were wired differently. And you'll find that in any church where there's revival or the flow of the Holy Spirit, there'll be people who apparently you say, well, he's hopping in and dancing again. I don't know what he's getting carried away for. And there's other people and the one who's hopping in and dancing will look over on the other side and say, I don't know what it's going to take to move him. Let me put it this way. If you ever see my wife dancing or running around, you'll know you're dead in the middle of a high-heated revival. Ever. You'll know it's God. Now me, I'm a little more reactionary. I like to think I'm well-balanced. I like to think I'm well-balanced. I know other people would question whether I am or I'm not, but I like to think. Balance is the key, my friend. And I once heard it preached, or once heard it said, that the devil is very wise. He's had a lot of practice. And so he's good at what he does. So, and I heard this statement, never forgot it. If he can't get us to fall into blatant sin, then he will take something that is legitimate in our lives and push it to an extreme. Now, isn't that powerful?
Yes.
You know that any revival has always been accused of being off the rails? Any church that's been in revival has always been accused of being off the rails. Why? Because there were some individuals in that building who were off the rails. But that didn't mean it wasn't a genuine move of God. That God didn't move the church forward and accomplish things in their lives. So let's be very, very careful. If you're an individual who has the attitude that I'll only believe it if I feel it, and if it's real to me, then that's the only way I'll accept it, then you're equally as unbalanced. And I'll tell you why. Number one, because that attitude leaves no room for faith. I got to feel it first. Faith is not feeling. Feeling is not faith. Faith is pleasing to God. But God's also giving you feelings. You can't deny your feelings, but you have to walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean this. Faith may or may not include feelings. Faith may or may not include feelings. There are times when you feel so saved and you feel the presence of God and your faith is alive in God, and there are other times when you don't feel that same, almost feel like you're not saved, and where is God? And that's the time you need to stand by faith upon the Word of God. And we all have these different experiences in our lives, and if we are only trusting in feelings, that's pretty dangerous. If that's our attitude, then we'd have to rip out a part of the, we'd also have to rip out a part of the Bible that, like the New Testament epistles, the teaching, the rich and deep teaching of the New Testament epistles, teaching us how to live practically. Because God is not only the God of the supernatural, He's the God of the natural. He's the God of everything. He's not only the God of the natural, He's the God of the supernatural. And we need to serve God in both realms, if you want to put it that way. So if we're only saying, if I can feel it, I'll believe it, if that's our attitude, then we need to rip out parts of the Bible as well. What parts of that? The part that teaches us how to stand strong when the feelings are not there. The epistles of Paul, Peter, how to stand strong when you're in the midst of the turmoil and your world is coming apart and you don't feel good and you don't feel like things are good and matter of fact things are real bad, then you need the Word of God. You need to stand solid upon the truth of the Word of God. And besides all that, feelings can't be trusted. The way you feel about something could be wrong. But God's Word is never wrong. Amen?
Amen.
A very wise man once said to me many years ago, he quoted this little poem, I guess, or phrase to me, I never forgot it. He was a mentor of mine way back when I first came to the Lord. This is what he said to me when I was kneeling at the altar, and this elder brother came over and put his arm around me. He said, I want you to remember this. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings can be deceiving. My guarantee is the Word of God. None else is worth believing. Feelings come and feelings go. How true? And feelings can be deceiving. My guarantee is the Word of God. None else is worth believing. And yet we cannot deny or reject our feelings because it's the image of God in us. He has given us a heart and He has given us a mind. For example, one cannot affectionately worship His holiness if one does not understand it. I'll say it again. One cannot affectionately, I don't mean mechanically, worship. Although God's not looking for mechanical worship, He'd have made you a robot. But He made you a human being with feelings. One cannot affectionately, and that shows itself differently in all of us, worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. One cannot worship God's holiness affectionately if we don't understand it. And that's the reason why I want to bring us into this series. And the first thing that we're going to look at next week is God's holiness. To understand God's holiness. Why is that, Pastor? Because the first thing you will ever encounter when you come face with God in reality is His holiness. Everything about it is holy.
Yes.
The book is a holy Bible. The angels are holy angels. The city is a holy city. The priests had to have holiness unto the Lord on their garments. Holiness everywhere. You'd have to be blind not to see it. And the first thing that every one of us must face when we come into the presence of God is the awesome holiness of God. And that will usually do one of two things. That'll either get us running the other way from His holiness because the light is shone on us, or we'll dig in our heels and try to extinguish it. We either have to run from it or bow to it, but it's holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So I just felt like I needed to lay this groundwork in our understanding before we launch into His holiness and His immutability, His untruth, unchanged and unchanging, eternally fixed, His love and His mercy and His grace. We're going to explore the different characteristics of God, and my prayer to God when I lay it before Him is, Father, don't just let us have an, we need more because of what we are as human beings and what You've created us to be. We don't just want to understand Your mercy. We want to feel it. We want to experience it. We don't just want to have a better understanding, a book knowledge of the grace of God. We want it applied by the Holy Spirit so that we know that we have been washed by His blood. We don't just want to know that by faith that it's in the book, you know, we need to be assured of it. That's what I'm trying to say. We need this assurance. And that can only be experienced. So my prayer is that we will understand fully with our intellect, and we will experience with our heart and with our emotions the true and the living God who created us to love Him with heart and mind. The God who understands all things in His intellect, and yet the God who Himself has feelings. He has feelings. Do you know what that means? That means you can bless Him. That means you can make Him happy. That means you can bring Him joy. You can bring Him joy. That means you can bring Him grief. That means that we are like our own children. I once heard somebody say, your children will bring you the most joy and the most grief of anybody that's ever in your life. I think that Father is just like that. His children will bring him the most joy and the most grief. But we lean upon the faithfulness of His love. Amen?
Amen.
And so we must start with God. Anyway, I'll stop there and pick it up. Start there and pick it up next week. We're going to be looking at His awesome, awesome holiness. And I'll tell you, if you get a glimpse of His holiness first and you come into His holiness covered by the blood of Jesus, otherwise there's no way in. There's no way into the most holy place other than covered by the blood of Jesus. And so when we humble ourselves as a child and we get covered by the blood of Jesus, the doorway is open. And now we can come in with confidence in Jesus, not in ourselves. We haven't got a good track record. But I always like to say, Father, I come standing on the shoulders of Jesus. I come standing on the work of the cross. I come by the blood and into your holy perfection. And once you get a vision by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us a great vision of the holiness of God. Your life will be radically transformed. Everything else will take shape behind it. But it's the first thing that you will always face because it's who He is and what He is. I'm going to ask Melissa and the team if they would come back. And we're going to sing a great old hymn of the church. You say, Pastor, you like the great old hymns? I sure do. Pastor, you like this new music? I sure do. Well, Pastor, make up your mind. It's one or the other. No, it isn't. The Bible tells me it has to be in balance. The Bible tells me that if all I want to sing or ever want to sing is old hymns, then I'm disobeying Scripture, which says, sing unto the Lord a new song. But I also know that God's anointing can be upon an old hymn, no matter how old it is. And I love the doctrinal truth. I love to be able to go into the presence of God and say, I see it now. I understand it. You've shown me what it's all about. I see it. It's gripped me. It's just, and my reaction can only be, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I see the truth. Let's stand together. We're going to sing that great old hymn. Amen. Worship your God. Worship a holy God. Praise God. Worship Him with your mind, your intellect, your understanding. Worship Him with your feelings of emotion. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying, we have a son who is hesitant in saying, I love you. We have another son who says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And we have one son, he's hesitant to say to his mother, I love you. And his reaction at Christmas was, well, she knows I love her. Yeah, but it's good to hear it sometimes. Right? You know, God has feelings. Well, Lord, you know I love you. Thank you for what you... No. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. I will serve you because I love you. It's an expression. It's a genuine expression of love to God. And He's calling it out of every one of you. Every one of us are His children. He's calling it out. Amen? And if you want the Holy Spirit to be released upon your life with mind-blowing power, then you begin to worship Jesus genuinely and from your heart and saying, I don't care what the other one does. I don't care what the other one thinks. This is between me and you, Lord. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. Whether folks understand it or whether folks don't understand it, I'm going to touch God. You can touch God. Never mind God touching you. He will. It seems to be automatic. But you can touch God. I can touch God. I can move the heart of God for a moment. The eternal God can be touched by my worship and the expression of my love for Him. And the Holy Spirit just gets excited when He sees the church worshiping Jesus and worshiping the Father. When He sees the Holy, He gets excited and He begins to move and He begins to do things in the church and in people's lives that you were trying to do all along. He does it for you. How good is that? Let's worship Him, shall we?